Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Hopefully you had a very Merry Christmas. My name is Sean Wally here on the Double. And you know, sports are amazing. It is bowl time. It is almost playoff time in the NFL. Wait, what's that? After nearly 2 years, over 2 years, breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, reuniting. The Double S Express, Sean Boyd is back in the saddle.
Man, listening to that intro, man, I felt like I needed to be padded up. I felt like I needed to put some of the black makeup down there under my eyes, get to stretching, and be ready to go. It feels great, Sean Wally, to be back on the air with you, man. Did you say almost two years?
Over December 16, 2016 was your last journey. Do you even remember how to co-host the radio talk show?
Well, if I don't, man, we're going to learn trial by fire tonight, man. So I'm ready.
So is it just like riding a bike, hopefully?
Oh, even better. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm coasting in that fifth gear of a 10 speed and, the breeze is starting to hit my face, and because I've got some momentum, let's do this, man. I mean, it's been over 2 years, and, you know, it really doesn't feel like it. I guess the question for our listeners is, man, what have we been up to over the past 2 years?
Where does the time go? I know I've had a handful of shows over those 2 years, bringing in some guest co-hosts like our favorite David Massey out of Portland, Corey Sullivan's pinch hit a few times, former Wazoo Cougar, and of course, more recently, Proof in the Play doing good things, helping out. But there's nothing like the original and the man, Sean Boyd. So welcome back.
Well, man, I appreciate that. And of course, you know, just because we haven't had the show over the past couple of years doesn't mean that we haven't been tied into the media, of course. You've been doing some great things, and up till recent, man, you've got a new position that you're kind of fancying right now up in Western Washington. Give our listeners and tell them what you've been up to, man.
Well, it was about September, October, got the ball rolling and was selected as a new play-by-play voice for Western Washington Athletics at Western Washington University in Bellingham, Washington, doing mainly men's and women's basketball. There may be opportunities for other sports, but right now the dial is set to basketball, and they're live on YouTube. And of course, after the fact, everything's on YouTube as well. The conference website, which of course is the GNAC. And it's awesome, man. You know, it's four cameras. There's replay. There's graphics. It's a legit production, and I'm having a blast with it. And hopefully, you know, if we take our vitamins and say our prayers, brother, we'll get you up there and throw you on TV.
Man, that would be exciting, man. I want to say congratulations to you, because this is something that has been in the makings for quite some time. Of course, we have this great radio show that we produce on a weekly basis, but there are also visions and dreams that we have, and you have put yourself in the position of doing some great things, and this is the first step. Western Washington University, the Vikings, have an awesome, awesome play-by-play person, and they have no clue. Well, they do now what they have, and so I'm excited for you and the journey that you have started there, brother.
You know, it's funny because, you know, people question, would it be worth it? You know, the drive, Bellingham's closer to Canada than anywhere else, and the time, the effort, the energy. And you know what? It's the next step. it's progress, as you were talking about where we want to go forward and in the future. And you and I were there in the beginning, way back on KLAY, the Tacoma Thunder days, when we were the play-by-play team there. And to have it still be something that is what we want to do and an opportunity, that's the big thing, is getting that door to open and making it worthwhile.
Yeah, and you know, and you've done such an excellent job on that and maintaining your persistence and consistence in that. And so, man, I have no doubt that you and I will be doing play-by-play and color analysts again. And, you know, there is a, you know, I'm watching some of the play-by-play and color analysts that are on television now and on radio, and they've got a great opportunity, and they've gone through to that same path that you have, and making sure that, you know, that door is open, or if it isn't open, you are kicking that door open. And that's what you need to do in this industry, man. And so, you know, I'm excited for you. And again, the things coming forth for you in the near future.
You know, it's great, the chance that, you know, we still work games for the big networks, NFL games, college games, and getting that one-on-one time with the well-known broadcasters like the Iron Eagles of the world with CBS, and you name it, up and down the list, and Mike Breen, of course, with ABC ESPN, and, you know, just letting these guys know, hey, you know, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm hoping to do down the road, want to be like you guys, and they're all for it. They're, you know, saying how great of an opportunity and how awesome it is that a Division II school is throwing me out there on the air. And, you know, we'll ride this wave and see, hopefully it leads to the next one. But for right now, I mean, it's a ton of fun at Western.
Well, you know, you had mentioned some of the play-by-play and analysts for the television networks that we work with on a weekly basis. And it's interesting, after we've been on the air for quite some time and now, or been off the air for quite some time, seeing these guys week after week, a lot of the guests that we've had are those big time guests that we work with on a weekly basis. And so, you know, once I had the chance to take a look, I'm like, hey, yeah, like you'd mentioned Ian Eagle. I was like, man, you know, Ian's been on the show, and, you know, and others that have been on the show. And it's like, man, we've done some great things. And so what we want to do for all of our listeners that are back listening with us, you know, thank you for coming back on board, and thank you for being patient. We're looking to bring those great big time guests back on here on the Double. And so, you know, it's going to be a great journey again. So, you know, sit back, relax at this time every Wednesday, and we're going to bring you the greatest in sports. So thank you once again for being patient, and we look forward to having fun.
Well, Sean, I mentioned it briefly before the breaking news of you returning. The NFL season is winding down, one more week in the regular season, and the big question in Oakland, have we seen the final game for the Raiders at O.co?
You know, it's a tough situation for all of us Raider fans, you know, the thinking that this game would be the last game, meaning the game on Monday night against the Denver Broncos. And if it was the last game, well, why not? Why not go out with a bang and go out with a win? Did you get a chance to watch that game at all, Sean? Any of it?
You know, I think the biggest surprise was not the fans, because they're amazing, but I mean, yeah, the Raiders showed out. They wanted to do it for the city, for their fans, for Raider Nation. But my biggest surprise is that you weren't there.
Yes, it's, you know, and so this is one of the things, you know, I work Sunday for Fox Sports in Santa Clara for the 49ers game, the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears. And, you know, it's Christmas Eve. It was Christmas Eve, and, you know, ESPN had come a knocking, and I just said, you know, this is, you know, I got to spend time with my family, you know, on this one. And so I did defer. It's not something that is something that we should do. I think sometimes it's frowned upon when you turn down jobs, but, you know, man, this is one of these pages that I've turned in my life to where, you know, I'm comfortable with, you know, making good choices. And this was actually a great choice, man. It's Christmas Eve and going into Christmas and the family's in town. And, you know, why not spend time with the family? Even though that was a great, great football game. And, you know, it would have been great to be there, to be around the Raider Nation and the Raider faithful. You know, I have nothing but great things to say about those fans. You know, I don't know if you got a chance, if you know any of the characters, but the Gorilla Rilla is a friend of the family's, and, you know, he and his wife have given, you know, gave us holiday cards, and they always give me love when I'm down there in the end zone in the black hole. And, you know, the Violator, all those guys, those great fans that are the Raider Nation. It is so much fun to be around. And I believe personally, Sean Wally, that the Raiders will be back in Oakland. I know the stance was taken by the city council to put a lawsuit out to the Oakland Raiders. And Mark Davis has a decision to make. But I think in the long run, when all of the heads come together, meaning the NFL and Roger Goodell, Mark Davis, the city of Oakland, when they all come together, they'll find out that this is probably the road less traveled in the transition to Las Vegas. Because let's face it, the team is going to Las Vegas. But why make a lateral move and move to another venue to only move again? And so it just doesn't make economic sense for the Oakland Raiders franchise. And so that's why I believe that they will be back in Oakland. I just think right now there's a lot of murmurs going on, and, you know, we'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks.
You know, you talked about making that choice to work Sunday, which, you know, let's be real and honest. We have lives outside of working in sports. We have families. We have the day job as well. So yeah, it's a definite balance, and you got to pick and choose, you know, when you can not be at the day job and when is it worth it. And like you said, you had Christmas Eve to balance there as well. So yeah, it's a head scratcher at times and a struggle when, you know, the stars don't always align. You know, if that was a Sunday afternoon or Sunday night game, you would have been all over O.co for that 27-14 Raider victory, where Doug Martin stole the show, 107 yards, a touchdown, 21 carries. He's showing he still got it.
You know, yeah, and that was great for Doug Martin to have such a great game. But I think the Raiders came together as a whole. Jordy Nelson had an awesome game. And, you know, just, you know, the journeyman that he is coming from Green Bay. And, you know, he's getting a little longer in the tooth, but he's still one of those receivers that is clutch for the Oakland Raiders. One of the players that I am very excited about, Sean, is Derek Carr. And Derek Carr has taken a lot of flack for a lack of performance, which is really unwarranted if you think about it. When I look back at Derek Carr and his numbers this year, actually Derek hasn't thrown an. Did you know this? Derek hasn't thrown an interception since week 5. Against the San, oh, wow. Okay. All right. I almost did it, but I stopped myself. The Los Angeles Chargers. And that's amazing. And, you know, and with that said, I mean, as dismal as the Raiders season has been, the Raiders are 3-3 over the past 6 games, which is a step in the right direction when you're talking about a lot of injuries, an offensive line that's decimated. Alekio Semele just got back from the injured reserve. We haven't seen Donald Penn all year long. You have two young rookies on both ends, both tackles, the left and the right. Derek Carr has been under tremendous pressure. Khalil Mack being dealt away. Amari Cooper being dealt away. With all those things, the Raiders are now starting to turn the page, I believe, in an understanding. And this is what John Gruden has looked to do with Derek Carr. And now Derek Carr has become truly the extension, the head coach on the football field for the Oakland Raiders.
And of course, we talked about where the Raiders will play next year, and that's to be determined. But Mark Davis took the time at the owners meeting, when he had cameras and microphones in front of him, to say anything's on the table, including San Diego, including a Northwest potentially play in Portland. He even mentioned Seattle, which I don't know how that would work unless they're at Husky Stadium. But
you know, he's got to do what's best for him. But he's also, you know, he's got the money. He can go anywhere. But he's also angry with the politicians in Oakland. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, you know, you'd mentioned that he has a lot of money, and the truth be told, Mark Davis doesn't really have a lot of money. He's what they call the majority partner of the organization, which I believe he owns 49% of the Raiders. The rest of the 51% is divvied out between other shareholders and business partners. So he holds the majority of it. The Oakland Raiders are probably one of the least lucrative football franchises in the NFL. Here's one of the things. As much as I love the Davis family, Mark Davis in this instance should probably refrain from just throwing stuff out there. When you're talking about Portland as an option, Seattle as an option, I've heard San Antonio. I heard one last Sunday before kickoff that London was on the table. My goodness. This is the poker player, the business, person in Mark Davis that just wants to let the city of Oakland know that he has these options. When I believe Libby Schaaf and the city council knew exactly what they were doing when they made this move, they knew that it was checkmate, to the Oakland Raiders franchise. And they understand that they have the Raiders right where they want them, whether the Raiders decide to leave or not. They know that their best choice, meaning the Oakland Raiders franchise, is to stay in Oakland. And again, that's where I believe that they will play next year.
Well, Sean, right about now, if you recall, it's been a couple of years, you might have a few cobwebs. We typically have not one, but two big time guests right about this time. Our first guest would be on the show and a second one about 15 minutes later. But what we will do here this evening on this return broadcast live here on The Double is we're going to get real. We're going to get all about life, and we're going to learn what things mean, what help me out, Sean, what am I trying to say?
Well, when we come back from the break, we will be talking with Doug Newsom and Don Newsom. They're brothers, and they actually run this station, BBS Radio Station. And this radio station is centered in Paradise, California. And of course, Paradise, California has been the epicenter for the latest tragedy in the campfire. And there's been a lot of devastation, lives lost, houses lost. So when we come back, we're going to get a chance to talk with Don and Doug about some of the journeys on where they are right now, what that was like to go through that, and how they got the station back off of the ground. So stick with us. Stick with us, guys. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We will see you in a minute.
Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd with Sean Wally. We are back in action, getting some of the cobwebs out on this show, coming back to you. And of course, we normally talk about big time sports with our big time guests. But one of the guests that we would like to bring on now, as Sean Wally had mentioned just before our quick break, is there was a huge, huge devastating fire. And I believe that fire took place in November, and that was the Camp Fire. That was November the 8th of this year. And the campfire was a huge, huge blow to Northern California. I believe 86 lives were lost. There's still some that I believe that are unaccounted for. But, It destroyed over 18,000 structures. And this took place in Paradise, California. And, of course, this is where BBS Radio is. That this is where the headquarters is for BBS Radio. And so I want to bring in one of our guests, which is one of the engineers on the show, one of the owners of the radio station, and that is none other than Don Newsom. Don, are you on? Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. This is actually Doug. Don should be back in a minute.
Hey, Doug.
handling things. You know, right now we're putting this whole system back together, and there's quirks. So it's a challenge. No matter where you go, it's a challenge to set something like this up. So we're kind of in the middle of that. But, I love the fact that you're both back. Sean, oh yeah.
Thank you, man. Right? Good to be here.
That's awesome.
Well, you know,
the peanut butter and jam.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Now, talking about? So Doug, who's the peanut butter and who's the jam? you don't even have to answer that. You don't even have to answer that. I know which is which. But hey, Doug, it's so good to hear your voice. And, you know, when you had sent out when we saw on national television what was going on and we weren't able to be in communication with you for a little bit. It was something that really tugged to us personally. Because we just not even fathoming what was going on there. You know, just give our listeners a little bit of what was going on during that time for you. What was the thought process? And, did you actually see yourself making it out and back to where you are today, with BBS Radio up and running?
Okay. Well, let's take the last question first. And that is, yeah. In fact, I don't believe that anything will be, most people who do things in their life to accomplish anything, they're driven. They have a goal, you know, whether it's a goal to help other people or to build a project but they have a goal in mind. So that, I would say, if anybody goes through great suffering or pain or instance where they got great loss of everything, focus on what you do. That will move you faster than anything else will. It'll pull you out of the doldrums because you can only look to the future, be hopeful about the work you're putting into and work within the present. The past has to become a meaningless almost instantly. There's drawbacks to that understanding, right? I mean, if you don't, grieve for what you lose, then there might, you know, maybe that's cathartic. Now, in my brothers, in my case, we don't even think about history. We're only about time. The next show, the next show, the next show, the next show, right? So you do that for a couple decades and it's going to change you. You're not going to be really reflecting in the ways that most people do. You'll just be very, you know, work oriented. And I think that really, being that there's two of us, you know, we had each other to do that, and that we're so geared towards progress and work, we haven't really thought about the loss. The loss is much greater to the family members than it would be to Don and I. To Don and I, it's almost, in a spiritual sense, it just means there's a big change and now you're in the middle of it and deal with it. You know, you got to learn from it and you got to move beyond it, but you got to deal with it. And, you know, that's kind of how we are. I mean, Don and I have lost so much, so many times, even though, yes, this was the biggest fire in the most destructive fire in U.S. history, and I believe that's the case. They say it's the biggest fire ever in California by like 1.5 times over the number second fire. Very costly, very deadly, moved very quickly, right? My brother and I, we move quickly too when things like that can, but other people don't. They get sad. They lose themselves in the, what am I going to do? Oh, woe is me. And then that really saps you because other people don't, you know, that energy is very, very defeating. And it doesn't, you know, bring you any happiness ultimately. And a lot of people need to do that. Now, I don't know about Don and I. We've never really, thought about it. I know we're prideful in our history, but our history doesn't need those things. doesn't need the pictures or the emblems or the things like that to make us know who we are. There is loss, loss in works, words, things that you write down, journals, you know, poetry maybe you've written songs, you know, these sorts of things that you want to capture, work that you've done that you can always refer back to, and it makes your job so much easier. You know, these are the things I would miss. But to be honest with you, stuff makes me ups. If I see a lot of stuff around me, it's not a good thing for my brain. I do all day long. It's only stuff. I mean, there's wires around me. There's no place. You can't even, not enough place to put a cup of coffee. Not feel like you're not surrounded by jungles and snakes and bits and pieces everywhere. It's just falling all over you. I don't want that. I don't like that. I like being in a feng shui atmosphere where there's nothing about. So for me, that dream of having that, right? When it did occur, it might have, you know, there's a sweetness almost in a sense that now you got to deal with, you have nothing more. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Right? Yeah, that's good.
So I haven't dealt with it perhaps, but you know, and some people deal with it differently, but Donald and I, we were just grateful that people wanted to support us. That really made all the difference. I mean, we were back not because Don and I just had a purpose and we had a drive, but because there were literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of individuals that helped, that, you know, donated to us. We had a GoFundMe account that was created by a competitor. And he sets up a GoFundMe account because, you know, Don and I wouldn't have thought in that direction. We just wouldn't have. You know, we were always hopefully the givers in our universe. We never really thought about that. You know, it's hard for us to think along those lines. And then it occurred and boom, they gave us enough money to literally buy all the equipment back. So that is probably the biggest miracle of all. What can you say to that? Well, that'll change it. You know,
yes.
Something like that, when an overwhelming amount of support, let's say you went to your graduation and 50,000 people showed up. That's kind of like the feeling it would be. Why me? Why? You know, what, why? You know, I thought I was going to be alone when I meet my maker. I don't, there'll be 20, you know, a handful of people, you know, over the grave. What's going on here? No, 50,000 people just showed up because, you know, they're there to, that is kind of the love you feel. It's overwhelming. Maybe, I don't know how to describe it. I'll give you to Don. Here he is.
The handoff of the baton.
The handoff. Well, it's Don, a pleasure to speak to you, Sean and Sean. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you very much for having us. I apologize to the audience. There might be a little audio noise. In the line, which we will clear up by this week. We've noticed it for the last little while. So it might be just, you know, with the new equipment, there's some, you know, idiosyncrasies and situations we actually have to iron out tiny little problems constantly until we fine tuned it. And we're doing that this week. So there are some audio artifacts that you'll hear. Forgive us. I just wanted to put that out there. Sean, it's so great to have you two back, and it's the holidays, and you two are all about the holidays, so.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, Don, hope you had a Merry Christmas as best as you can, and I know you're grateful for what is still around and what you're improving and creating bigger and better, especially with radio station Indeed. And, you know, I talked to you guys when the fires were happening and you guys were telling me over the phone that, you know, you couldn't even see across the street because it was just black smoke and you hadn't been told to leave yet. And
right.
What were those times, trials, and those days like?
Oh, those were a little odd. I mean, Doug and I were working so hard that when the fire broke out at 6:45 in the morning, we were actually producing around 7:30 in the morning, producing shows, reruns, and the power was gone. It looked like, you know, it'd be a pretty good day. Looked a little bit misty out. I call it mist. Maybe it was smoke. But, you know, we started make phone calls, get people on the air, and we did that until, around 10 o'clock. My wife was telling me, it's getting weird out there. You know, some of my friends called me, they're being evacuated. We don't know whether we're being evacuated yet, but we better get out of here. You know, let's think about this. Doug and I are thinking, it's not a problem. We'll just start the generators. The power went out. No big deal. So we go out there and not even dark, kind of light yet. Little after 10:25, 10:30, we've got everything running again. But son of a gun, none of our, internet connections work, not our transmission line, not the cable business cable line. And so, the generator was no really use to us because we couldn't get back on the air. So Doug and I walked out the front door. It was getting near 11 and it was, it was getting near there because it was pitch black and we were thinking to each other, gosh, what do we do now? We better get the heck out of here because we couldn't see our hands in front of our face. It got so dark so fast. And then you can only see a red kind of a glow tinge, in the back of the all the way around in a U shape all around the helm. And, the winds are blowing a little bit. You can't see anything. It's pitch black. Something horrible's going to happen. So at that point, we just jumped into our vehicle and took off before, anything. We didn't even think. It was to the point where, gosh, it looked pretty ominous. Explosions were going off, every 45 seconds from propane tanks and other things that were just blowing up around. It was a little harrowing. So when we got in, we got into a vehicle that had no gas. And everybody else had left just a little bit prior to us. And, a couple of the vehicles were pretty much on empty. So that's always scary. We did make it. We made it down the mountain. We had a path down that was kind of in between the fires. Yeah, in between where the fires were kind of running. It was kind of nice, that little canyon. So we actually made it out safe in the very neck of time, I'm sure. A lot of people didn't make it out. And we, even saw cars going off side of the road because they were on empty, which is just horrifying in some situation like that with fire coming up your backside. We just had the shirt on our backs, and, oddly enough, we drove to a town maybe about 25, 30 minutes away, and, I drove into the gas station to get gas, and my wife and my kids were there in their vehicles, and they'd somehow wound up in quite a ways away at the same exact gas station at the same time as I did. That was pretty interesting, I might add. It tickled me to death because we all knew each other was safe at that point and got out. And what a coincidence. After that, they had blocked everything off. There was smoke billowing everywhere. And my wife knew some friends that owned a vineyard nearby. And she and her friends, asked us to stay in the vineyard area in a guest Airbnb they had. So we did. And we stayed there for, a few weeks while we were trying to get established in a more temporary area and location for the business and for living arrangements and so on. That took a while, nobody did it for us, even though insurance companies say they're going to hop on that and meet the conditions, of your meet your living conditions. Sometimes it's tough and then they just can't do it. And so by the time it turns around that you realize that there's nothing in the area to rent and you got to drive 3-4 hours away and your kids now all in different schools, what are you going to do? And it's been a journey. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, not anybody ever. It's a toughie. I'm just really grateful that, that people in our lives showed us so much love and overwhelming support. It just, it meant everything. And, you know, it's kind of, our people are kind of like us. We would never give up. We would have still clawed our way to the position we're in now. It would have just taken a lot longer. And, you know, when you're in broadcasting, if you lose a couple months, you're out. You can't be down for a couple months. You'd never make it. So without the support that we got, we'd probably never be able to come back. At least not in the way we were. And now we got a chance to make it back within under 30 days, not really miss a beat, keep all the contracts alive with that we've signed with so many, and be able to meet all the conditions. Wow. I got to tell you, miracle time. That's just absolutely, over the top. And I really like to thank the listeners for that support.
Our
listeners mean so much to us, and our hosts, mean the world to us. So thank you.
Co-founder of BBS Radio, Don, going through all this, what has this incredibly tough life lesson taught you and your brother and your family?
I missed that.
What has this incredibly tough life lesson taught you, your brother, and your family?
Oh, gosh, there's a few of them. But the one thing we've learned is we are actually loved. BBS Radio is loved. You never get over that fact. That's been a real fact. And, what do you say to that? I'm overwhelmingly joyous. I have a sense about me now that has changed because of that support. I have a whole new, let's say, constitution. I'm invigorated. You know, this journey has just begun. I'm excited. I know that the future is going to be magnificent. And, we had so many wonderful plans that now will go on to fruition. Thanks to the support. Wow. Granted, the fire couldn't have happened at a worse time. But then the support happened so fast and so thoroughly that it matched the tragedy pound for pound.
Well, Don, right. Doug, we thank you. We thank you for just the persistence that you had because just listening to you and our listeners listening to you, you have you're forward thinkers. And so even in the time of adversity, you're thinking about, how you can continue to move on in the journey. And that's what we wanted our listeners to actually get a chance to hear from you, the producers, you, the owners of the radio station, and, just kind of get a perspective on what it was like to go through that. I couldn't imagine, that devastation, the fact of, coming back to the place what used to be my house or the place that used to be my workplace, and it's no longer there. We thank you for your diligence and staying forward and staying consistent. And here we are back on the air today. So
thank you, Sean.
We love you guys for that. So
gosh, I love you guys so much. I truly do. Thank you.
And you know what? You could be a guest on our show anytime.
I appreciate that. I absolutely would like that very much. Thank you.
Well, cool. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL. Sean Wiley, we have some Seahawks to talk about.
Who?
Some
Seahawks.
All right. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Back here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Wow. What? Don and Doug Newsom, co-founders of BBS Radio, bringing the radio station back, a phoenix rising, if you will, from the ashes. And here we are back on the air.
Yeah, Sean, you know, I keep saying that I can't imagine in, you know, getting a chance to see some of the footage on television, you know, the devastation, just stuff burned to the ground, the heartache from, you know, the people who have lost their belongings, maybe a family member, a friend, a loved one. It was amazing to see. And so to have our friends, our brothers, to be able to bounce back and have the support, as Doug was saying and Don were saying, having the support from others, just putting in the funds and the money to get this radio station back on the air is nothing short of a miracle. And so, you know, we're thankful for all of the supporters that were able to do that to where we're here today, Sean Wally.
Hopefully nobody else has to imagine what that was like and live that, because like they both said, they wouldn't wish that on anyone, even their worst enemy. And man, but hopefully it gives everyone a, you know, a time to reflect and realize what does matter. And it's not necessarily material possessions in that aspect at all.
Yeah, it's having the family, it's having loved ones around, it's having support, and knowing that people are there to be there for you in the toughest times. And so we're just, again, grateful for having those people be there for our radio station and our radio show. And here we are, brother.
One final week in the NFL, and the Seattle Seahawks have punched their ticket to the post dance, and they are back in the playoffs after taking a 2017 off. Not many saw this happening 6-8 months ago in Seattle.
You know, hats off to the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. There's a lot of transition with the Hawks. And of course, you know, we're all familiar with the Legion of Boom. And, you know, the Seahawks, just one by one, people had started to either leave the franchise, fall by the wayside due to injury. You're talking about the Cam Chancellors. You're talking about Richard Sherman, winding up leaving and playing against a division, with a divisional foe. You're talking about Eric Thomas, with the feud that was going on between him and the franchise. All of those things aside, the Seattle Seahawks still found a way to not rebuild. They just regrouped. And through that adversity, and here they are punching their ticket, as you said, to the postseason. And now what they're looking at is, you know, they have a 9-6 record. I believe that the Minnesota Vikings are at 8-6-1. So the Seahawks with a loss could drop, but I don't see them dropping playing against the Arizona Cardinals. It looks like the Hawks are going to go to Big D and play against the Dallas Cowboys in the first round of the playoffs. And again, who would have thought? Because to be honest with you, I didn't see the Seattle Seahawks making it to the postseason this year. I saw too many holes. I saw, a new defensive coordinator in Ken Norton Jr. And Lord knows what we saw down here with him, with the Oakland Raiders, even though he had great success as a positions coach with the Seattle Seahawks prior. I just didn't see this materializing, and the Hawks have done a phenomenal job in the off season, drafting some great players, great character kids, and now, again, here they are, 9-6, and punching their ticket into the postseason.
Sean, what I really like, you know, hearing that you're talking about, and you see it on the national shows, the NFL networks, the ESPNs of the world, where the former players, the current analysts, the prognosticators, so-called experts are saying the Seahawks are the team nobody wants to play. And that's exciting because, as you're saying, they weren't supposed to be there on paper. You talk about the player transition in Seattle. They had 9 new coaching spots. 9 new coaches are on this squad from Waterboy on up. And somehow they've made it work. And they're doing pretty darn well, considering not many thought they'd be here. And even Vegas, who doesn't like to lose money, they didn't think it would happen. And, you know, it's going to be a fun ride. And going to Dallas in a climate-controlled environment, I'll take Russell all day.
Yeah, you know, and you just mentioned the cog in this whole wheel in RW3, Russell Wilson. He has been nothing short of brilliant. And, you know, this last game, the Sunday night game against the Chiefs, you had Patrick Mahomes, who is just a phenomenal up and coming quarterback. This kid has arrived, and he's probably one of the players on my MVP list, for MVP of the NFL. And what Russell Wilson did is he showed that he still has it. Moving that team up and down the field, making sure that, you know, that offense was clicking and in cohesion, and still being RW3, moving around, extending the play. And, that's what got them the victory. If you're to be a great franchise going into the playoffs, you want momentum. And what the Seattle Seahawks did in winning 5 out of their last 6 shows that they are more than capable of doing some damage in the playoffs. And if I were the Dallas Cowboys, and I know that the Dallas Cowboys had won 6 of 7 before they went and did their little spiral, last week, or the week before, I'm sorry. They punched their ticket also last week. If I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I'm a little nervous at playing the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, here's the reason why. Dallas Cowboys defense is a great defense, and that's what has put Dallas back to where they are this year and being the division champions. But when you have to go up against an RW3 who has just tremendous, tremendous ability in the pocket and moving outside, then you have 2 strong running backs in the backfield. And this is the other thing with Coach Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator. They've gone back to the ground and pound, the Seattle Seahawks have, and it has reaped dividends for Seattle because it, you know, these guys are, they're a two-headed monster in that, in the backfield. And then when you combine that with the great receivers and Lockett and Baldwin, that offense is clicking. And so, I'm stopping short on saying that the Seahawks are back, but I have to tip my cap to them on a job well done and qualifying themselves in the postseason.
Of course, this season, the Hawks and Cowboys did meet in Seattle, a week 3 Seahawk victory. So they do have that in terms of the head-to-head match, but we all know that you can throw all that out when it's a one-game winner-take-all in the NFL playoffs, and playoff football is just fun.
Yeah, you know, and it's different because, you know, now you kick out 60% of the rest of the NFL, and now it's just the guys who have earned and punched their ticket. And you'd mentioned that week 3 matchup the Cowboys and Seattle playing earlier this year, and you know, Seattle handily beat the Cowboys earlier. And so, if I'm the Cowboys, that wasn't by mistake. And you know, it was around that time to where Coach Carroll had really dug in and said, man, you know, I know that we are a team that likes to mix it up and pass, but we got to make some changes, you know, and we have to really rely on the running game. And so the Seahawks have been running the ball more so than they were prior to Marshawn Lynch leaving. And so, that bodes well. You know, that says a lot because remember a couple of years ago, just last year, that offensive line was trying to find itself. You couldn't run. You couldn't pass. I mean, Russell Wilson was running for his life. And what a difference a year makes. And, you know, again, hats off to Seattle for making this happen. And so it's going to be fun. I mean, I right now Seattle doesn't have that home game on the horizon, and if they do have a home game somewhere down the stretch in the playoffs, I mean, look out NFL, because if the Hawks have a home game, that's a wrap, especially if it's in the NFC Championship game.
That's the only way it could be or would be the NFC title game against the sixth seed, should they win out, which will either be Minnesota or the Eagles, depending on how week 17 unfolds. And you brought it up, Sean, going from the worst rushing attack in 2017 to the best in the span of a year with a brand new offensive line coach. Your buddy Tom Cable's gone down there with you guys in Oakland, I do believe. And Mike Solari has somehow got them back to beast mode type numbers.
Yeah. And I want the listeners to understand what's happened in Seattle. The fans, I mean, a lot of the times fans just go, hey, you know, we've been winning, you know, over the past 10 years. And, you know, that's all we do is win. Just not understanding what took place as far as, you know, the adjustment. Being a coach myself, and actually coaching on the offensive side, it is probably the hardest thing to convince an offensive coordinator and his coaches to actually make an adjustment in the middle of the season on their way of thinking. So, you know, the Seahawks started out saying, hey, we're just going to let Russell Wilson lead us to victory. We've got some complimentary players and this is how we're going to do it. And when your mind is set on that, that's the way it's gonna be. And for Pete Carroll to come in and say, look, this isn't working, we got to do something different, wow, that says a lot about Pete Carroll and the pull that he has, and that says a lot about his coaching staff and saying, hey, that, you know what, that sounds like a great idea, you're right, and we're gonna right this ship. And that's exactly what Seattle did.
First 2 weeks of the NFL season, Seattle loses to Denver and the Bears. They had 5 turnovers in 2 weeks. The rest of the season, they've had 5 turnovers. The lowest number of turnovers since 1940 in games 3 through 15. Pretty incredible, and that helps people understand part of how this turnaround has happened.
Yeah, you know, and again, these guys are... they're locked and loaded. There are a lot of young pieces that the Seahawks have in place on the defensive side of the ball. Some strong middle linebackers. And, you know, they picked up some corners and safeties as well. The Hawks have done good. No doubt about it. They've done a good job on revitalizing what seemed like something that was spiraling down. You know, as I had mentioned earlier, with, you know, some of the key players leaving on the defensive side, and of course I didn't mention Marshawn Lynch, but Marshawn Lynch leaving, you know, this goes all the way back to Golden Tate, you know, all of those things. Seattle just keeps regrouping and keep bringing out great football players, sound football players with a strong IQ.
Another football game happening before we talk to you next week. As the new year arrives, it is college bowl season, and there is a big one at the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl.
Yes, it doesn't get any bigger. You know, when you're talking about Huskies, the Husky football, Huskies are another team that, you know, had to do some regrouping. They started out in the beginning of the year with a tough schedule playing my Auburn Tigers, and they took one on the chin. And, you know, from that beginning of the season, you know, it was tough sledding. You know, they, you know, wound up, Jake Browning wanted to have a banner season, and, you know, it wound up being up and down. He had some injuries on the offensive side, but Chris Peterson is Chris Peterson. And so, you know, one of the things is you can never count out a Chris Peterson football program. remembering all the way back to Boise State before coming to the University of Washington, it just seemed like Boise State was always there in that top five, you know, finishing in the top 10 at the end of the season. And nobody really wanted to give Boise State credit, but every team that played Boise State knew that they were in for a dogfight at the end of that football game. And so here's the thing. Ohio State, Urban Meyer, and all that comes with Ohio State. You know, they're that Big Ten organization that, you know, nobody wants to play. When you're talking about Big Ten football, they're the pinnacle of it. So I'm sure the Vegas odds are something to where Ohio State should go in here and just walk all over the Washington Huskies. But as I'd said before, with a Chris Peterson program, this coach has his kids ready to play always. And when you have a month off and you have a chance for your players to lick their wounds, and then they come out here and they go head to head with the top, one of the top teams in the country, do not be surprised if the Washington Huskies come away with a victory in the granddaddy of them all.
Should be a great bowl game on New Year's Day, one of many football games on New Year's Day. It's a fun time of year, Sean.
Yes, it is. And I, you know, I also want to add on, there's a game January the 5th in Frisco, Texas. And it's the Division I AA NCAA National Championship, where my beloved Eastern Washington University Eagles will be playing in the national championship against North Dakota State, the Bison. And you want to talk about the Alabama of NCAA Division I AA? It is the North Dakota State Bison. They have won this championship 6 out of the last 7 years. And I'm so excited about Eastern Washington coach Aaron Best, the coach of the year in the Big Sky, doing his thing. Congratulations. Hats off to you, Coach Best. I know that the Eastern Eagles are gonna play and do an awesome job. And I believe that they're gonna bring back the national title to Cheney.
Alma mater to one Colin Cowherd of sports radio fame, and of course, former On the Double guest Lamont Brightful. That red field not going to be there in Texas, but hey, you're playing for a national championship. Let's go, EWU.
Yes, and so of course, North Dakota State has some great football players that have come through there, and one in the NFL, and most recent in Carson Wentz.
Gonna say quarterback. Yep.
Yes, and so you know, these guys produce some talent, but Eastern Washington has some NFL players as well, and there's an awesome one that came out a couple of years ago why am I forgetting his name for the Rams? Cooper Kupp. My goodness. You know, his mom's going to kill me if she's listening. But Cooper Kupp, just a phenomenal wide receiver. And, I had him as the rookie of the year last year. Of course, he had gotten an injury in the middle of the season, but then came back at the end of the season last year for the Rams and did some great things, but an Eastern Washington alum. And so, Eastern Washington has some great players as well. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited for that national championship game as well. I will be glued to the TV to watch that coming out of Frisco, Texas.
Sean Boyd, you still on the saddle? Did you fall off at all? You sound like you'd go for another 3 hours.
Man, where did the time go, man? This is awesome. This is awesome. So this is what show number one looks like, rejuvenated, man.
The reboot, the rebuild, if you will, literally and figuratively, get down there at the new home of BBS Radio. Speaking of, thanks to Doug and Don Newsome for joining us here tonight to talk about what they've gone through with the campfire and losing not only their home, but their business. But guess what? They're back and looking to be better than ever.
Yes. And so, you know, I'm not sure if there are still donations that are being given Don and Doug, but if so, can they go on to BBS Radio, the website, and get some information on that? We'll have to figure that one out. But if not, please go on to bbsradio.com and check out some of the great shows. You can download the app, BBS Radio app. Of course, we are on here every week, every Wednesday, Sean Wally, at 7 p.m. So lock that in. We will have some great, great big time guests, and we'll be talking big time sports moving forward. We are so glad to have you here on the double.
And if, hey, a week from now, it'll be 2019 when we talk to you next.
Yeah, so we'll be in another year and we'll be getting a lot sharper. So again, we're so excited to have you guys back here on the double. And again, lock that in, lock this into your phones, download the BBS Radio app, and listen to yours truly and Sean Wally bringing you the best in sports. For Don Newsom and Doug Newsom in Paradise, California, guys, welcome back to the fold. For Sean Wally in the Pacific Northwest, hey man, is it cold up there? I didn't even get a chance to talk to you about that.
Oh, if you think 43, 45 is cold, then yes, yes, it's cold.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, man, I can't complain.
Those are the highs.
Yeah. My goodness. Well, here in Northern California, it is not that cold, but it feels cold, so I'll just leave it at that.
And real quick, if anybody on Sunday or on New Year's Day happens to be watching a Husky basketball game from Heck Ed, or if they're there in person, I will be there working it for Pac-12 Network, so be great to say hi and see you if you are at Heck Ed this coming week.
Well, yes. Yeah, so yeah, there you have it. Be there. If you see Sean Wally, be sure to go up there and tell him hello and that you appreciate listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. For Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest, yours truly down here at the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. This has been a BBS Radio DSX LLC production. On the double, as I always say, you're not in the game unless you take the shot. And when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. Swish. Again, this has been a DSX LLC production. We'll talk to you next week.
Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the double with the Double S Express.